The Human Podcast features weekly service audio from the Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation of Roswell, Georgia. Please visit us at human.org.
I think I would go with succinct, but I'd have to look it up to be sure.
Succinct doesn't suck. Okay, good. Being succinct doesn't suck. That's going to be the title for this podcast. Hey, Mr. President, could you give an elevator speech about the duties of the human president as you understand them, as opposed perhaps to the written job description?
You know, it's funny. I was actually looking recently at the job description for the human president, and let's just say I think it could use some work. All it mentions is that the prez facilitates board meetings and congregational meetings and sets the agenda for those. I think the role is a little bigger than that. Some of the responsibilities, though, might be hard to quantify in a job description. I think the president can play a big role in setting the tone for that year's board by creating and overseeing a culture of inclusivity, of respect, of listening to everybody, both on the board and in the greater congregation. But having said that, I don't really see the president's role as being that much bigger than other members of the board. Ideally, you know, we would function as a team with no one voice being louder or more important than another. That's how it was last year under Miriam's leadership, which was excellent, of course. And I hope to continue that sort of spirit of democratic collaboration. Our UU principles sort of require that an approach like that. So in a way, I don't think being president will be that much different from being vice president. I was a fully active member of the team last year, and I plan to be the same this year. There's plenty of work to be done, and we need all hands on board. No pun intended.
Can you tell us about your professional background and how that can be applied to the duties you find yourself tasked with in your new term as president?
Well, Dirk, like you, I think, I was a technical writer. I did that for over 30 years. So you could say that communication is a specialty of mine, and certainly that's an important skill on the board. In fact, I had a couple jobs where my main responsibility was to write policies and the procedures that supported them. I worked at SunTrust Bank, now Truist, and I was in charge of their information security policies. So as you might imagine, I've worked on several policies at UMIM in the past year, either creating policies from scratch or adding new sections to existing policies. For example, we didn't have a safety and security policy. When I started looking at that problem, I realized it was a much bigger issue than just drafting a policy. So I wrote a charter, we set up a committee, we did write and approve a policy, and we met twice with the Roswell Police Department instead, and we had them sort of do a walkthrough of the campus and look at our vulnerabilities and how we might mitigate those. We're working on a detailed plan for how we might respond to various emergencies, including fire, severe weather, or an active violent threat. And that's an example, too, of how the board has to be flexible and adapt to new challenges or changing priorities. We're about to have our board retreat. We're going to come up with goals for the year. But, you know, safety wasn't a goal for last year, but it turned out that that was something where we needed to put some time. So we have to be flexible and adapt.
Given that we've seen declines in membership and attendance of church membership nationwide, what are we doing or planning to do at UMIM to counter this trend and make our church appealing to newcomers and retain existing members?
Yeah, that's a good question. I know the last two boards have had a goal of increasing and retaining membership. That goal might be, go back even further. I'm not sure. But the question is, how do we do that? You know, increase and retain membership. We have a couple of ideas we're developing. In fact, this last board meeting, which was Tuesday night, we spent a good portion talking about this issue. I think the recent reworking of our human website was primarily targeted toward this goal, and it will help, I think. And you'll soon see some additional improvements to our social media presence, as well as other marketing initiatives. But I want to say that I've been kind of encouraged by the number of new members and attendees we've had lately, going back even to the start of the pandemic until today. I know I read an article where traditional churches in America were seeing a bigger decrease in membership than UU churches were at one point, although it certainly is affecting us to some extent. But what's encouraging to me is that one way or another, people do find us. I've always believed that if people knew about UMIM, our values, our unique brand of no dogma spirituality, that many more would come and join us. The challenge is getting the word out, and we're working on that.
Any thoughts on income sources beyond member pledges and contributions? Our treasurer likened the importance of diversifying beyond just those sources to a city's need to have something other than taxes from residents. The existing regular sources, an annual auction, rentals, Monday through Thursday, Primo School, or such like, could be discussed, but are there other possibilities on the horizon?
It can be a challenge to balance income sources in the work of the church, I think. For example, look at rental income. It's a great thing on the one hand, and it helps us pay the bills and pay the staff, but there's a saturation point. You can only rely on so much rental income. The trick, of course, is to rent our facilities during those times when they're sitting here unused and not to interfere, hopefully, with member events or plans. It's kind of a delicate balance sometimes. But I think there are some encouraging things happening in this area. For example, we just started back with the coffee house, which has been a consistent source of income in years past. And the coffee house, to me, is an ideal example of a use of our facilities. It's a great evening of music that can be and is enjoyed by our members, but it also brings in other people in the broader community and gives human exposure. I know that we have gotten new members who found us through the coffee house. So we need to find more things like that. Like an ideal thing to me would be if it was some little group that was trying to start up a theater in Roswell. And, you know, they wanted to use our facilities. That would be awesome. That might be worth doing. Reach out to some of these. Just find some little theater groups. I don't know how you'd even do that. In the old days, you'd go to Creative Loafing, but I think that's defunct nowadays.
You and Donna have been something of a fixture at the Common Grounds Coffee House for so many years, although I've heard that you've rarely been able to actually see the act on stage since we've had the goodies for sale in a separate room. Are there any thoughts on the appeal of seeing live music in this venue going forward?
Yeah, I love the coffee house. I think it's just a great evening. You know, you got the sun going down and the musicians are really excellent. As I've said, I think it's one of the best things we offer. I'm always amazed by two things with the coffee house. One, how good these local musicians are. They're really incredibly talented. And, you know, just if they'd gotten a break, they'd probably be on the radio or something. And then two is that so few people, especially human members, attend coffee house. You know, it's just a great, inexpensive way to commune with neighbors and friends and listen to some really good music. My buddy, Steve Allerton, once let me accompany him for a song on the stage there. And I'd have to say that was the highlight of my musical career, along with, of course, being able to play in your band, Dirk.
I'm going to second that about Mr. Allerton. Honestly, one of my favorite moments when the human band was tasked with curating and performing once a month. One of my very favorite times was accompanying Steve Allerton. He wanted me to get up with him and perform Tom Petty's Won't Back Down. And it was, you know, sing and play. Just harmonize with the guy and play guitar along with him. I think he was on banjo and I was on guitar, and it was marvelous. I mean, if I do say so myself, I think the two of us sounded really good because Steve actually insisted that we rehearse beforehand. And I was like, just show up and all. No, we have to get together and rehearse. And we did. And it sounded tight. And I'll never forget that. I thought it was pretty brilliant, really.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember. I know you were there. Steve and Laurie did a Bruce Springsteen song at our wedding. And I thought they just did an incredible job of that. I think they should get up and do that again at Human sometime. It's a good wedding song. It's about if I fall behind, wait for me.
Speaking of artists, have you read any good books, listened to any new musical artists, discovered any brilliant filmmakers lately?
Yeah, since I'm retired, I do find that I get to read a little bit more, which that's a positive, of course. The book I'm reading now, and I'm probably finished it today, which makes me a little sad. It's kind of a crime or detective novel by a writer named John Banville. He used to use the pen name of Benjamin Black, but he stopped doing that for some reason. He's got a series of novels about a character named Quirk, who's a pathologist in Dublin in the 50s. It's kind of like how Raymond Chandler had Philip Marlowe, you know. This book is the ninth one, I think. It's called The Lockup. And in the UK, that can be a garage as well as a jail cell. He's playing on that double meaning. It's a great series if you like that kind of thing. Really well done. Donna and I love British crime dramas. So we've got Acorn TV and BritBox, and we're always streaming something like Endeavor or Dog Leash or Midsummer Murders. I'm always shocked at how these quaint little picture postcard English villages have so many murders. It's like a cottage industry over there. As for music, I think UU's would love Josh Ritter if they gave him a listen. He's great lyrically and musically, and he's our kind of guy. Give a listen on Spotify to All Some Kind of Dream. It could be the UU anthem.
Nice stuff. Thank you. Thank you very much.
The Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation of Roswell, Georgia, thanks you for listening to the Human Podcast. Background music, courtesy of Tim Moore from Pixabay.